Today we're talking about gifts and talents in our children. Whenever you think about your children as a parent, you need to have something divine and miraculous in your mind, okay? Because as parents, we want to do what's best for our children in every stage. We want to choose the best home for them, the best food. We want to choose the best childcare center, the best preschool and the best school. But really, unless our Lord Jesus Christ has his hand in our home and is working with us, it is very difficult. And that's why we have this verse. So this verse is from Proverbs 20, verse 7. And it says, the righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. So if you remember nothing else from what I'm going to say today, or nothing else from any parenting book, remember that if you are a righteous man or woman, God will bless your children, and that's his promise. And a righteous person is one that is united with Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness. So it is a person that is united with Christ through the sacraments of the church. So as parents, it's very important that we partake of repentance and confession and Holy Communion regularly, and that we try and, when we read something in the Bible, we pray and struggle to actually fulfill it. So that's the main message. So now we're going to start with the talk. So gifts and talents in children. So I think it's important that we just define what it means when a child has a gift. So a gift is an advanced natural ability. Because sometimes you see a lot of children that are very coached in a certain area, say their numeracy or their reading or spelling, and they can perform maybe a little bit higher than their grade, but it's not a natural ability. A child with a natural, so for example, a three-year-old that teaches themselves how to read, that's a gifted child. So it's a natural ability, and it is an ability that is well above the average range, all right? And it's about, in Australia, 10% of children are gifted children in various areas. And we'll talk about the areas that you look out for. So then we come to the definition of the word talent. And a talent is a gift that is fostered into a talent. So for example, a very musical child is then supported by music lessons, and this child becomes talented in playing the violin or percussion instruments or the piano. Or a child that is gifted in that, very physically coordinated, and then you enhance that with, say, gymnastic lessons, and then they become talented in that sport. So a talent is a fostered gift. So it's ability to achieve at a very high level in one or more areas. So the child can be gifted in not just one area, but it could be more than one area. And they've used, again, the natural ability, and these children tend to enjoy spending time in that gift that they have. If they are musical, they really enjoy playing with anything that makes music. Or if they are sporty, they can't help themselves but, you know, kick a ball around or jump and do somersaults. Or, you know, they show signs that they are really enjoy doing that thing that they're gifted in. So there are various areas of talents that kids can show, or they can show gifts in, and I've just made a list for them. So music is one, art is another, and art can be creativity. So it's not just painting, it could be that they like drama. You know, a young girl can like a lot of dress-ups, and she likes to present things to you and act things at home. Or creativity also as in writers. So I know a girl, she's now in year 9, but I've known her maybe since she was in kindy, and she tells her mom she gets this feeling in her stomach and has to go and write a creative story. And she actually goes and writes things, and even if she's doing something, she'd drop whatever she's doing and she'd go into her room and write. So that is a gift that is then fostered by, you know, a program which will talk about, you know, gifted and talented programs that can then help her. She might become a journalist or an author, or sometimes also we have preconceived ideas as parents, and I think we'll cover that. Sometimes we want to say, okay, this, my child is good at this, and so they will become that. I think you have to sort of take it each step at a time and just fulfill their need at each stage as it comes. And then whatever God wills at the end that they become, they will become. So music, art, sport is another one. Academic learning and leadership skills or social skills. So sometimes you can find children that they could be very academically gifted. So like I said, teach themselves to read. They have great memories in keeping information and bringing it out when it is required. But they're not very social kids. And we're going to talk about that. A child that is gifted, that has a natural ability to function well above average, usually, more often than not, has an area that is well below average. And this area could be sport, so they can be very, like they have two left feet, completely uncoordinated kids, where they, you know, they would hate, you take them to soccer practice and it's a punishment for them. Yet they're happy to sit and read anything and store it and remember it for later. Some children also are very socially talented, where they're very easy for them to talk to people and make friends. They have the ability to understand social situations and make a lot of sense out of the social situation. They have the ability to understand different personalities, and they will come and tell you, oh yes, no, you have to talk to this person like that. But, and they can be really little, like early primary school, and they will manage playground politics no problem. While you can have another child that is really academically gifted, and they're, you know, well above their grade in their numeracy skills, but they're sitting alone in the playground and they're unable to talk to other kids or make friends. Okay, so just some general points that, like we said, a child can be gifted in one or more area of the ones we mentioned, and they can be gifted at different levels. So you can have a child that has the ability to play a music instrument and can do, I don't know, grade 3 or 4 of the AMEP exam at a very young age. Whilst you can have another that is also gifted but at a moderate level. So you can have a highly gifted child, you can have someone that is moderately gifted, or someone that has a degree of giftedness, they're definitely above the average, but it's not on the 99th, you know, percentile. Now, the generally gifts and even personality traits are inherited from us. So you will find that if a child is also very musical or very sporty, one of the parents or even, you know, an extended family member, they say, oh yeah, he takes after his aunt or he takes after his mom or his dad. So it's an inherited gift. It can, now you can notice it at a very young age. Usually we say 6 years of age. If you're going to do any formal assessment of your child, usually not reliable under the age of 6. So before 6, it's more what you notice at home. So it's more of an informal identification at home. You can also identify a gift at an older age. So an example, say your child might come, say in year 7, and she has a maths award. And you go, wow, you got a maths award? You say, yes, I don't know. You know, sometimes it shocks them too. But they can show a gift at a later stage, or even higher, say in year 9 or 10, they can get the chemistry. They can win a chemistry competition. And you discover, oh, look, this is interesting, you know, that you got this medal for this subject, and you never really notice that they read at 3, or so gifts can show at a later stage in life. Or even the other thing is not just academic, but from a sports point of view, you might find that the school tells them, look, we think you can be a swimmer in the national championships or something like that. So something might come up as they get older and more mature and develop skills like physical skills or intellectual skills. Okay, next. So I think, I just thought we'll talk quickly about what to look out for. And there are a couple you can, so an informal identification is basically what you notice at home. So it's not really rocket science. If you know, I spend time with my kids and communicate with them and see what they enjoy doing, and the kids will tell me. Then that is the informal identification, or you can do a formal identification, which we'll talk about. The formal identification that's available is a psychometric assessment. So it's basically an IQ test. So it doesn't really help you if the child is gifted physically or in a musical or leadership or social sense. But if it is an academic giftedness, then the IQ test can test it for you. And I'll tell you a little bit about it. But again, not reliable under the age of 6. Okay? So the informal identification is what we said, is that you notice that the child is really naturally advanced in an area compared with children the same age. They enjoy self-teaching and following after their gift, and it's the favorite pastime for them. They might be children that prefer to talk to older children, because often these children find it hard to fit in with their peers. They have slightly odd interests, or if someone really wants to talk a lot about music, for example, or talk a lot about space and planets, and other children want to, you know, play with you know, a ball in the playground, they may not feel that they fit in. So often they will go and socialize with adults or children that are slightly older than them. They usually have a very good memory and an ability to concentrate and focus well on tasks, except in the area if they are very creative. So creative children that love, like this girl I told you about, or they like to paint, or, you know, they tend to be a little bit, they're daydreamers. They find it hard to follow rules, and you box them in, and they get very frustrated with you. So they are a little bit of an exception to focusing well on tasks. The other thing is sometimes children that are very gifted intellectually or academically, they're very good speakers, and they will verbalize their way out of tasks with you as well. So you will want them to do something, and they will give you a very long sermon list, whatever you want to call it, as to why they shouldn't do this and why, you know, and they usually get themselves out of tasks by doing that. And they can sometimes also get themselves out of situations by talking themselves out of it. And I'll tell you a funny story of a young boy who was in year 3 or 4. Was quite an academically gifted child, and a boy in his class came to him and told him, "You're a nerd." And so the boy said, "What's a nerd? Have you ever looked up nerd in the dictionary?" And the other boy said, "No, I haven't." He said, "Well, why don't we look it up together?" And so they went up the class dictionary, opened it, and nerd said, you know, someone, I can't remember the exact, you know, definition, but it said someone stupid, uncoordinated, or, and then the boy told him, the gifted boy said, "That sounds more like you." And he said, "Yeah." And so he got himself out of, you know, the bullying really situation by having the verbal skills to talk himself out of it. They tend to be children that are very curious and ask a lot of hard questions, and they can give you a headache. It can actually be very demanding to have a gifted child. And we'll talk about the challenges of having a gifted child a bit later on. They learn very quickly. We said about that. Imaginative, creative. You can also, you may also hear comments from their teachers. It could be their preschool teachers. They can notice that they ask things, or the way they play is a little bit different from other kids. It is a bit difficult at preschool, though, because the preschool teachers are also trained in picking up abnormalities. Other than giftedness, they also trained in autism and Asperger's. And sometimes these children are mislabeled a little bit because they are a little bit quirky. and they have, you know, their own interests, and like we said, they may not actually function well within a group of their peers. So you just have to be careful and trust yourself that you know your child best. But yeah, comments from families, friends and teachers are important. You can keep a record of some things that your child has done, if they've drawn something, or the types of questions they ask, or if they've written something, or any achievement they've done, because later on you might want to discuss that with the school, with the teacher at school, and say, look, my child is doing this. It tends to be a bit difficult because when the child is very young, the teachers think, oh, every parent thinks their child is amazing and they can do so many things, and sometimes they don't hear you. But if you have maybe some evidence that you can show them, and in all humility, you know, I'm here to get help from you, if you can guide me what is best for my child, then that tends to work. Now, also when we expose our children to a variety of activities when they are young, you might then notice what they like. So like I said, you might take your child to soccer and they hate it, and you know there's no point really continuing on with it. Or you might start some music lessons in a group or one-to-one, and they might not want to do it. So if you have a variety of activities that is, you know, then you might identify what area of talent or gift your child has. But just be careful, because I notice that these days we do too much with our kids. And it's very important that you are at home with them, you know, quite a few evenings in the week. So if you're starting to rush from swimming to soccer to gymnastics to music to, you know, Kumon or whatever, you know, else you go, then something is wrong. You have to not, I think, did I put that in? I think it's important, don't lose the peace at home. And just slowly try different things and see what they like. So that's the IQ test I was telling you about. And you don't have to do an IQ test. If the child is happy and achieving and you're not getting any issues, then you don't have to do a psychometric assessment for them. But if you do, it is done by an educational psychologist. And we've mentioned that 6 years is, you know, plus is more reliable. And we mentioned the drawback that it doesn't measure really creative, social or physical abilities. It's only an intellectual test. And you can do it sometimes because you've got all these comments from teachers and you can't figure your child out exactly. They are a bit different from their siblings, they are a bit different from maybe their cousins or their friends, and it will help you understand a little bit more about them. Now sometimes when you do an IQ test, you don't actually get an IQ result, because like I said, they can function well above average in certain skills, say their higher thinking skills and problem solving skills, but they can be very average in their performance. So if they give them, say, a Lego or blocks to do something with, they may not perform, they may perform well below average. And the IQ test tends to add a lot of numbers together and gets the average of that. And so sometimes a psychologist will just do the test just to highlight strengths and weaknesses in a child, and helps you understand it, because sometimes the kid is very frustrated. Their brain is going 100 miles an hour, but their fine motor skills are way below average and they lag behind. And the child becomes very frustrated with that. You can use it. It can be a tool to use with teachers. And it also makes you understand that, okay, I've got a child, you know, say on the 99th percentile of this area, but they're functioning at the 50th average percentile in this area. And so I need to try and help him bridge that gap. So challenges, I've mentioned a lot of the challenges. You can just quickly read the slide. You know, it's a mixed bag of good and bad. Don't be overexcited if you have a gifted child, because, you know, yes, it's a nice thing and, you know, God gave us these gifts to work with them, but it also comes with a lot of challenges. Like we mentioned some of them already, they get frustrated, they can get bored at school. Girls specifically can underachieve, especially as they get older, because they can find that they're not accepted within groups if they're very academic and they're, you know, good speakers. They might be shunned by other girls, and so they tend to underachieve to fit in. So it's important that you talk with your child and communicate about things and see what issues are happening at school. So what to do? The first thing, like we said, is remember our verse, that I am as a parent, try and be a righteous person, and God will bless my children. So don't forget our Lord Jesus Christ in anything. Okay? And we've mentioned, don't try and mold your kids into a certain thing. Go with the flow and just introduce different things and see what comes up. Communication is very important, that we spend time with the kids and not run around doing a lot of activities every day. Yeah, communication is important with the teachers. There is not a school that is wonderful for, you know, for a specific child. And also the gift schools cater for the majority. You have to remember that. Child care centers cater for the majority. They have to. So they will cater for the 92% that they have. And so you need to support the child at home as much as is possible, like we said, without losing the peace of the home. Because it puts pressure on your time. If you have other children, they also have needs. And you can't focus on the one child that has all these demands and leave your others. So you need, you know, may God give us wisdom to be equal, you know, with all our children, and try and get support from extended family if you can, you know, drop-offs and pick-ups, so you can cater for the soccer or whatever, if the child wants to do music lessons or whatever else it is. Avoid labeling the child. I think that's an important one. Don't say, oh yes, he's the brainy one or she's the musical one, because then it creates sibling rivalry, and you have to, and also might give them a big head. They might think, oh, I'm gifted, I'm amazing. So it's important that that you explain to them that this is a gift that God gave you, and other people also have strengths. Just like, you know, your sister has this social strength and you struggle with that, you know, God gives a gift to each person, and they need to value that other people have strengths and that everyone is equal really and the same. Okay, so like we said, there are some professionals you can talk to. There's the Association for Gifted and Talented Children. It's in every state and territory, so there's a New South Wales one. There are programs that run. MindQuest is one that runs through St. George Girls School in Kogra. And they've got a variety of things, like they've got, if the child has interest in technology or music or debating or writing or mathematics, they've got a variety of programs, and they run during the school holidays, and the kids enjoy them. And there's one that's run by University of New South Wales called JERIC. They are not cheap programs, and I haven't looked at prices for the last 10 years or so, but you can look them up on the internet. And there's also Raising Children Network, which is a government-funded website that's updated and is quite good.